everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. Deidre and I are going to start a really cool series. Deidre joined our consulting team about a year ago, and she has been seeing some awesome clients. I've been seeing some awesome clients, and we've just had some common discussions. How do we help midwives more? And so one of the things was getting some regular videos out of just common topics that we talk to our consulting clients about, people ask questions on, common themes that I think would just help midwives in general. One, so they can better understand our services, and two, it'll kind of inspire them to say, oh, I'm going to dig into that a little bit more. I didn't even think about that. You just don't know what you don't know sometimes. And that's the whole point of a consultant. It's valuing their knowledge, their expertise, the people they've connected with, the years of experience they've had with the midwifery profession. So you can learn from our mistakes, so you hopefully don't have to make them. So So thanks for joining me, Deidre. If you want to just give high level of who you are and who you tend to help out with your consulting services, and we'll dive into our questions.
Sure. So like you said, Leslie, my name's Deidre DeGrado, and I'm one of the consultants with Midwifery Business Consultation. And I just love serving people, and the midwives that I've mostly been working with are starting new businesses and trying to help them just build a really strong foundation, whether it's protocols or whether it's their business alignment with other businesses or just so many, a variety of things.
Yeah, no. And especially, I think when you were listing all the things, that foundation also includes just the mindset to be able to be a business owner, because we aren't taught that in school, unless, like, I know the CPM, the mentorship route, sometimes you get lucky to have a good business minded midwife, but nurse midwives and most midwives do not get any business education unless they reach out for it themselves out of school. So we try to be that business education resource to accelerate their success, because I just did a consulting meeting yesterday, and I was like, I can make you a business plan, but if you don't help me through the process, you're not going to be successful, because it's your business plan. You have to be the business owner executing it. It's not just me putting on paper the steps and the details and what needs to be done. So it's a joint process. It's morphing to be the business mindset as well as giving you business resources.
Yeah, it's kind of like the sink or swim, you know. I mean, I feel like a lot of our partnerships with midwives are very similar to what the midwife model is. You know, we're partnering with our clientele to help them have the kind of birth and to educate them. And there's just such a really exact paradigm thinking in that way. And so when we partner with other midwives and we are their consultant, we're doing a lot of the same thing. We're helping them get started. We're giving them just little pieces where they can educate themselves, and then they can come up with a plan. And I love just feeding little bits. And the perfect situation is exactly what you just said. When they do their part, we do our part, we can really help them build an incredible foundation, an incredible plan, and an incredible business model.
Yeah. Well, and it's about seeing the sustainability. How can we get the next generation of midwives to make midwifery a different way? I think I called it the non-midwife model, because they just lived and breathed midwifery. You devoted your life to midwifery, and then you didn't have an identity outside of midwifery. And the younger generation doesn't want that. They want to be moms. They want to have fun. They want to go on vacation. They want to eventually retire. They don't want to be a midwife till their back gives out. So there's a big mindset. And so teaching them how to be a business owner versus self-employed, teaching them how to make systems and operations that can run whether they're present or not in time is the whole point. Like, we are icing on the cakes to decide to work in our practice. It's not the 100% income stream is us.
And that work-home-life balance is so important to this generation. And I feel like the midwives in my generation, you know, obviously I've been doing it for 20 years, need to start modeling it. Like, my generation did what you just said, eat, breathe, live midwifery, a lot of things falling to the wayside, a lot of divorce, a lot of just kids growing up needing their moms more than they actually got them. And I just feel like my generation needs to step up to the plate. You know, the midwives that have been doing practice for a while need to say, okay, we need a paradigm shift in our minds so that we can set an example and start mentoring these midwives in a way of in the way that they want to be mentored, in the way that they want to see, how can I make a better model? And that's what everybody is looking for, because midwifery, if you don't have that right balance, if you don't have that good foundation for your business, which I feel like a lot of midwives, you know, that are in my generation totally did eat, sleep, and breathe it, and then they're burnt out entirely.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't stick with it. I mean, we both know that. And so
yeah, the turnover rate is so crazy high for midwives. And you think, oh my gosh, this is an amazing profession. And I was like, because we don't know boundaries. We don't know how to separate or make an accurate fee schedule for the business structure, because we feel like, oh, I have to take more and more clients because my numbers don't add up. I can't pay my bills. And there's so many other ways to do it. And so
and they're
that's
not
why.
Even looking at it. They don't even know how to look at it. They don't know how to make a fee schedule. And that's something we can help people do in such a really simple, easy way.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even know what that is. Sometimes they don't even have a budget. And again, like that's something like we were doing that the other day with a client. And, you know, you just make it seem so easy, you know, when we
yeah,
were
I've got my Excel spreadsheets. I mean, it's not just telling you things. We give you tools and templates that we've got the policies. We've tried really hard the last 5 years to make everything you need. And right now, like I've had two clients ask for really detailed checklists, like from beginning to end to start this type of practice model, help handhold me week by week how to do it. So we're making that. It'll be out in a month. I'm really excited. So like we're ever evolving. It's not just talking in front of someone, but you get objective, tangible resources and tools to keep and utilize for like the budgets. Yeah, it's a one page simple spreadsheet and you just punch in like, okay, this is my number and it does all the calculations for you. So we have it for mileage trackers. We have it for tax deductions. Like there's so many tools out there that we've created over the years. So it's not just about consulting them, but giving them things that they can just open the door a lot sooner and not save hours and hours of their life that they would have had to use to make these things if they would have known how to make them.
And one thing, Leslie, you're fantastic at is like you are so fantastic at the overview, the high level thinking. And I really like to come in underneath that and just kind of dumb it down because I was that midwife that really like jumped into being a business owner. And it's like, what do I do and how do I do it? And I really understand midwives who need the very specific details. And I think like it's, again, this I love to just use the idea of what it means to be a midwife with a client because I think the model so similar. You know, it's kind of like when we meet with a midwifery client for the first time, we have our checklist. Okay, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this. And then they have their homework. Okay, you need to start researching this or educating yourself on that. And that's a lot what we do as a consultant is we say, okay, let's start here. Or sometimes we have clients coming to us and they're like, I need specific help with this.
Yeah, they're in their fire. And yeah, that's always the balancing you and I have chatted about with consulting work. We may have a 3 to 6 month protocol, proposal, plan to do with them. But then all of a sudden they come to us. You and I will prep for meetings as especially we're getting going, like, okay, this is the tentative things I would talk to her about. But if all of a sudden she comes in is like, I had this traumatic experience, I have this legal issue, I need help now with XYZ, it's that Maslow hierarchy of need. We can't make them grow and be a better person if they're trying to just survive, put in a shelter and food right now. So that's part of the cool part with consulting. We help you with wherever you're at that moment. So sometimes it's life coaching, sometimes it's business coaching. Sometimes it's a friend. Like we just are like, we're that unbiased, objective. Like I want to bounce this off you. I'm frustrated. I need someone to talk to that's outside of my traditional midwifery community. So you and I played many, many hats.
Yeah, I can think of a client that I had recently who really had a very specific need. And she just said, hey, this is what I do not understand. She was a new midwife in her own new practice. And she just didn't even understand how to read the explanation of benefits. And she's like, so what is this column? What is this column? What is this? And we just kind of talked through very specifically, what are all of those things and how do you read that and how do you know what to bill, you know, your patient and that sort of thing. And so that led to a lot of just further deeper education. And, you know, so I would answer all the questions in the first, you know, 40 minutes or so that we spent together. And then the last 20 minutes, I would be like, hey, start thinking about this or hey, start thinking about that. And we started talking about, you know, streams of income that she could start doing on the side. To also help facilitate, you know, increasing her budget and all of that. And so, you know, sometimes we would just end the call and she'd be like, this is why I hired you, you know, because yes, I was able to answer questions, but I was also to say like, hey, come on up here, you know, let's take another step a little bit. Yeah, let's meet the need at the time. But like you said, what else can you be doing? You know, how else can you improve your practice? And, you know, it really encouraged her a lot.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's the inspiration. I mean, I talk to a lot of people. They tell me some of the crap they're going through, and I was like, yep, I had the same thing happen to me here and here. And to know that, like, we can relate to each other and that midwifery isn't this kumbaya perfect world. It's a tough profession to be part of, and we can help each other and bounce ideas. And, like, I've got a couple of people in crisis moments, that, and they're like, I'm like, you will be better off from this. I promise you, but it's going to suck the next 6 months, but we can get you through it. I'm doing what I wished I would have had in 2017 with my burnout. Like, I am very passionate about people that are really struggling and on the verge of quitting midwifery and feeling like they have no life purpose, because at the moment it really, really sucks. But when you get through it, it makes you a better person. It makes you look at things differently. It helps out as a ripple effect. And even like an example of where I am now, if I wouldn't have went through that crisis, I'd never be where I am now. So that's part of that inspiration we give people. We acknowledge the crisis they're through. We help them get through it. We help them see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, definitely. I often think about midwives who are, starting practices and they don't have any idea where they're going. And I just think, like, hiring a consultant is the number one thing you can do to get started in a new practice. But also, like, really, the majority of midwives that I've helped, and I don't know about you, but our midwives who have been in practice a long time and just, like you said, didn't know what they didn't know.
Yeah.
And I feel
Yeah, I
like
would say it's
midwives.
probably 50-50 of the new grads, because a lot of times budgets are challenging for new startups. And if they don't even have the mindset to see the value, they're thinking very blankly, like, I've just got to spend the bare minimum. It's hard to help someone that isn't even that next layer of the return on investment and value. And there's certain stages that people go through in life and growth. And so, yeah. And then you have the other extreme, you have people very well established, and then they're realizing, oh crap, I've done this for 20 years. But I'm still on that rat wheel. I'm still on that cyclical. I'm exchanging my time for money. I want to retire in the next 5 years. I'm getting exhausted. I'm realizing what midwifery has done to me and my identity as a whole. And I want to shift things. I want to make things different. I want to have a different structure. And so we get all these different cool walks of life that come in.
Yeah, I think we can really make a big difference with these people that are, like you said, kind of, yeah, in the rat race and needing to do something different. It's just never too late. I think my passion is helping, build the co-ops and trying to get midwives to get somebody else on board,
Support,
more
collaboration.
assistants, more midwives, like start learning. The CPMs especially need to learn how to partner with other midwives and learn to do the take call schedule and learn to surrender, some of the control. I think it's difficult, but it's so doable and it's really so much better in the long run for the community, you
Yeah.
know?
Well, and I think your co-op is a really cool model, because people think partnership, well, we have to be business owners together. I'm like, there's a thousand ways you can partner together. And so it's your creativity in that relationship. We can help you with the business structure and the backdrops, but you can have your own practice. They can have their own practice. How are you guys going to support each other? Like, you can do it many different ways. So partnership is just, how do we collaborate and support when you want to be at a baseball game, you want to be at a recital, you want to take a vacation? How can your clients be well supported and vice versa? Or we can't predict when two people go at once and we're only one person. Like, we need that support from each other. And I do see midwifery, even though we're so much about supporting our community and families and women, we're not as great at supporting each other as colleagues in our communities.
And the fact is, the younger generation is not going to do that. And so there is no reason why those of us that started 20 years ago or 10 years ago, can't be shifting the mind thinking as well. And ultimately, it really will be better for the whole community if we do rely on each other more.
Yeah. Well, and I think the big thing I see is that scarcity versus abundance mindset. I don't know why
Yes.
midwifery in the community-based setting has so much fear and anxiety, and the mindset of, well, we only serve 1%, 2% of the population. I don't want to help grow a mentor in my community. I don't want to get a partner and send people their way. I'm just trying to get my own. And I'm like, 80% of the population is normal and healthy if they know about midwives. Like, we have to shift and look at, are you half glass full or half glass empty kind of mindset? Set because there's so much opportunity out there. Like, if you better your colleagues in your community, everybody's going to better from it. It's that wealth abundance mindset that many midwives, part of our consulting work is shifting their minds. We give them books. I give them professional development things based, like, I just gave a client some woman empowerment, like, audiobooks to listen to while she was getting her practice going, because there was so much trauma from what had happened with past colleagues. And she's just so low on herself that I'm like, you can do anything. We need we need to lift each other up and shift that mindset.
Well, and we, like you said, I love what you said about that scarcity mindset too. Vicki Pinwell talks a lot about it in her preceptor class from Mercy in Action, but she just talks about the more midwives there are, the more people are going to access that, the more clientele everybody is going to get. So we have to work together to grow midwifery. We have to do that. And once we do that, we don't have to just be like, oh, I've just got my few persons here and there and everywhere. You know, your practice is going to grow too. So if you grow, everybody's going to grow. You don't have to be like, oh, I don't want more midwives in my community. No, you actually want more midwives in your community. That's going to grow your practice.
Yeah. And part of that scarcity mindset, when we talk about picking ideal clients, especially when they're new starting out, everybody picks everybody. And I'm like, is it the best client? Like, I want you to focus more on marketing campaigns and narrowing down really in detail. If you had the perfect client to serve every day, what does that look like? And how do we target market them? Like, we want to shift. Like, there are so many women you can serve and families out there. Who do you want to serve? We just have to do a better job of marketing to them versus you just get a few calls because they think, well, there's not that many people that want midwives. And we have to shift that mindset that there are, you can turn away people left and right and get your practice started successfully with the right marketing campaigns. And so that's a big mindset shift as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. That is so good for sure. I mean, I think even for the practices where, you know, they do have really big practices, there's still other things that you can do to narrow down your niche, you know?
Right. Yeah, you can get specialty certifications. You can get, I see it a lot with near retiring midwives. They'll take away the birth call and they'll start doing 2 days a week, some really cool thing they're passionate about. And they'll get a team underneath them. They'll mentor, they'll help, they'll grow the next generation. And they'll be more of a director transition role of covering because they understand the business and the practice and the community really well. So sometimes it's helping to transition the midwives to where they want to be in life next. Sometimes it's, they don't like their current business model. Maybe they want to start a business, but don't even know where to start. Like, we help them in so many levels of transitions. So perfect. Well, one of the questions we had, Deidre, was it's a common thing about risk management. And I know you and I, it's a very foreign word to midwives because our clients love us and we take care of low risk, healthy women. This isn't a risky business. So I would love for you and I to expand on that, what we do with risk management, risk reduction, and what that even means, because too many midwives, it's a foreign concept. So I'll start out with just the high level definition you and I were talking about with the recording. And then we'll dive into some examples so that midwives can realize, oh, I didn't even know about that. I didn't even know that could happen. So when I think of risk management, risk reduction is protecting yourself, protecting your business, and protecting your financial future. And it could be done many different ways. And it's all about how can we look at what if scenarios and make it so it's less likely for them to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I don't think midwives really do understand risk management at all. I don't think, because we do work in, you know, a career field that actually is filled with a lot of risk, but we really only think about it oftentimes as it relates to the clinical place of our client. Like, oh, where are they at in their risk category? Right. We don't think about it in terms of like, where am I at?
Correct. We'll do our risk assessment health scoring. Like, are you a good candidate for a midwife? Are you a good candidate for this setting? But we're not very good at reversing it and looking at what are my risk of choosing you as a client? What are my risk of XYZ decisions? We don't think that way, most of us.
And if we do think that way, I feel like it's more related to like, oh, can I pay the bills next month? You know, not just like really specific clinical application. And I'll often have like our consultant clients will ask specific questions about, well, what about this protocol or what about that protocol? And I'm like, the point I'm trying to get at is not do you take this client or not? Like, that is your personal decision based on, you know, the best research that you can come up with. The idea of it is more of a generalized, how are you going to reduce your risk? You know, one of my consultant clients was asking about, say, jaundice, for example. And she said, well, you know, so do I, you know, get the lights and do this and do that? And I said, well, all of that isn't really what's important. But like, do you have training in that? Do you know how to do that and how to manage that? Because I'm just saying, like, maybe you should ask yourself, is this really in your scope of practice? And that is part of risk reduction, is scope of practice. Because if it's not, don't feel like you have to be the midwife of, 30 years ago and do everything. Just be like, stay in your lane, do what you're good at, and don't be afraid to like refer that mom and that baby out for that situation. You know, I feel like sometimes midwives just start like pulling everything in to their scope.
And because they want to protect it. They want to protect, okay, they'll order an ultrasound machine on eBay. They'll order a non-stress test machine. And then we don't go to the basics of like, what training do you have? What do you have for competencies and skills to interpret that? Because they're like, well, like, it's interesting because the mindset is, well, I can just order it. I can tell you story after story where they ordered the wrong ultrasound. It's used for vet versus for human. And it's because it was the cheapest and they thought they could use it. They just don't know what they don't know. And, you go to court system, they're going to pull the scope of practice guidelines. They're going to ask you what training and certifications and advanced skills, because this is outside of the traditional scope of midwifery. And what are you going to have to defend yourself that you are qualified and competent and skilled to be an expert in XYZ service you're adding to your practice?
Yeah, I feel like it's a big problem. And I just think, like you said in the very beginning when we were talking about the other topic, is, you know, the risk management and the scope is so important when it comes to what you want to do and what you can do. You don't have to do everything. You know, you just need to build a team around you of people that you can refer to and people that you do feel great working with, and that you know you can instill some confidence in your client that when I refer you to this person, they are going to listen to you. They are going to give you their expert advice. They do, read current, well-researched stuff, you know, but I just really stress to a lot of our consultant clientele that, you know, try to stay in your lane. Like, don't feel like you have to pull everything in. I just think it's so important.
Yeah. Well, and I get where they're coming from because we want to protect our families. I get where they're coming from, but I'm like, the court system, like, even some controversial
things.
But
we're protecting the client, not ourselves.
Correct. Yeah. Like, we're trying to, like, as a bigger picture, like, okay, if you can't be open anymore, how are you supporting the community? If you push the envelope of breach and twins and three prior C-sections because she had a traumatic birth and she's telling you she's going to go unassisted. I've got stories after stories of successful practices been open for 10, 15 years, close overnight because they pushed the envelope of their scope of practice. And now that community no longer has that practice, birth center, midwifery service. You create, like, we don't look at the bigger next level of, I want to protect the future clientele of this practice, not just this woman in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I literally could talk about that topic for hours. It's like a midwife will go out on a limb for one person. You know, and then look what happens. Now, not only are you not practicing, look at your whole community of people that don't have a midwife.
So it's definitely, so when we think of risk reduction, because part of our tiered system, at least I don't know the style, I know I've kind of done some training with you, but if someone's coming in as a blank slate, they're like, well, I want consulting services, but I want to know kind of what you traditionally talk about. The first thing I do is we talk about their life goals, their purposes, what makes them happy. Then the second thing we go into is the, in conjunction with the business planning, is the risk management. Like, they're just as important. Like, planning and also protecting yourself while you're planning are just so, so important. Obstetrics is a high litigation. The home birth community, I was just talking to Beth Sova, and she said the community-based midwives, the legal risk the last 2 years of accusations from boards and local hospitals and complaints and legal accusations have went through the roof. We are
That's
the tiny.
Midwifery is growing and the system doesn't
It's a competition, it's a threat. But if you don't have a sound, I mean, with HIPAA and regulations and compliance and the right business structure and protecting your practice, they can take you out easily. Like, we have to make a strong foundational practice for ourselves so we can continue offering this amazing service. And unfortunately, many midwives call us after the fact, after the contracts went bad, after there's a bad outcome, after they've got the issue, and you can't do anything about it after that. We have to be proactive. productive, even though it's not fun and it's not the we want to talk about how do we color the birth room and how do we structure in the tile and the color, because that's the fun part. But we also have to have the tough talks. I mean, I did some financial planning for a while, and it wasn't fun to talk about life and disability and all these terrible things that could happen to you, but they happen. I can tell you story after story of midwives that beg for me to talk to other midwives because it happened to them. Like, they were rich, doing really successful, slipped on the ice, got in a car accident, homeless, living in their kids' basements in 3 to 6 months, can't pay their medical bills. Like, we don't give enough credit. We think we're invincible and that everything's going to be perfect, but insurances are so important too.
Yeah. And that is part of that risk management, is looking at the possibilities of getting disability and getting some of those things in place and getting that 3 month emergency fund and those sorts of things. I was thinking also about the topic of risk management as it pertains to protocols and guidelines. And I find that a lot of our clientele will call and ask about that. And that's part of what they definitely need to get into place. And one thing I love about midwifery business consultation is just that we have those already laid out. And granted, you know, maybe not every midwife is going to align with one specific.
They can
protocol.
Tweak it. They can customize it to their area. We stress these are based on dozens of midwives looking at them across the country. Every state has different regulations, what you can do for your scope of practice. But this is a template that'll save you thousands of hours, or you don't even think you needed to create a protocol or a guideline for this that you can now customize.
Yes. And I literally love those protocols and those guidelines, because I feel like a lot of midwives do have more room in certain states, or they do have more training, like you said, in whatever ultrasound or whatever, something like that. So they can specifically change that to meet whatever their needs are. But I also feel like we are, you know, we don't feel like it's our job to try to tell midwives what their protocols or guidelines should be. And you and I are more just trying to think about it from, like, just create those and follow them. That's the point. And I had a midwife actually recently ask me, well, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? And I said, well, it actually doesn't really matter what I think about that specific protocol. But what matters is, what are you trained, and what do you feel like you actually should and can be doing in your scope of practice? And then just follow that. I don't care what it says, really.
Yeah. And then we have them reference their local organization. If you're if your state regulations, we send them to the resources so they can get their answers, because we don't have memorized every state birth center, midwifery, and international and continuing education. But what we do is we know how to direct midwives to the resources so they can find. Our whole point is, and I think of it as being like parents, like, we don't give them all the answers, we give them the tools so that when they don't have us anymore. And we do that as midwives too. Like, we're not going to be them when they're parenting their children. We have to train them to learn how to find the information on their own and how to interpret what's credible, what's not. So risk reduction has so many angles to it. I know you tend to do more heavier the clinical based stuff because you've lived and breathed the home birth community for 20 years. I tend to do more of the business structure, which is great. You and I complement consulting work together all the time. We have lots of clients that'll do some of the visits with you, some of them with me, because we each have a different background expertise. Mine tends to be more tax, legal, business structures, the more technical things of a business, and yours tends to be more, and definitely correct me, from the preceptorship, the relationship building, the collaboration, the boots on the ground forefront clinical part is what you're really good at.
How to actually do it. And I think it would be really important for people, potential clientele, for us to know that we're not here to judge midwives. We meet with people everywhere from, you know, unlicensed, uncertified, more like community midwives that are, you know, more traditional midwifery, to, you know, the CNM side. And so I think, like, our job is not to judge people, but to try to still say, like, these topics are still really important. And I don't think we really insert our own opinions, really. Like, we are looking to help them, you know.
A midwife's a midwife. There's a thousand variations of midwifery and your style and how you can do it and what your community wants out of you. I mean, a biblical-based midwife serving the Amish Mennonites and the Christian-based communities is going to have a very different business structure than someone that's collaborating closely with a big hospital system and starting a new department program. They're going to have very different needs, and we meet them at all walks of their structures and what is important to them, for sure. That's a good point to bring up.
I want the midwife. I feel like sometimes when I do, like, a discovery call with a midwife, sometimes they just feel a little bit like I don't know, just a little bit of trepidation of like, are you going to judge me because like here I am this, solo midwife and, I'm working out of my home or, whatever. And I just feel like midwives need to know, like we're there for every midwife.
I love every aspect of midwifery. It doesn't matter where you're coming from, how you want to run things. There's controversial things like some people want to do abortion clinics and do transgender support. And I just am objective and I tell you the laws and the what you're held to. And we just talk about, okay, you can do what you want, but what is the risk reduction if XYZ happens? Who are you held to in your local area? Is it a board of midwifery? Is it a board of nursing? Is it the medical board because there's no licensure in your state? We just ask them the questions of what if, like just getting them to think of it in a different angle. We don't most of the time give them the answers. We just give
Right.
them the opportunity to say, oh, I've got to dig into this. I've got to learn. I didn't even think about this.
And it's a lot like, again, like I know I say it 100 times, but it's like taking care of a midwifery client. When you are taking care of that client, that patient, you're saying, like, here's the options. There's vitamin K injection, there's drops, there's nothing. And here's what this says about this, this, and this. We're just providing education and resources and information. And oh man, you have built just such a great network of
Oh, thank
resources.
you. I appreciate
So,
that. Yeah, it's you and I have learned it's not so much what we know, it's who we know. So I've worked
yeah.
really hard to network with accountants and lawyers and bookkeepers and marketers and any resource that we can pull together that's going to make them more successful because it is. It's a lot of work. If I say, oh, go find a marketer, oh, go find a biller, oh, go find this person, they're more exhausted. It's just like putting those resources and tools templates together. We're also trying to find amazing. I mean, I found an awesome financial planner that his wife's a doula and they've had all their kids at home with a
Yes.
midwife and they live and breathe midwifery and they understand the educational level of what midwives are coming from because females in the financial industry are already having a harder time, let alone midwives. And a lot of midwives don't have financial planners. Like we talk about putting that mastermind team around you of these experts, leverage the experts around you. I don't want you to know everything about everything. Those are part of that risk reduction, like getting the advice from the experts, getting their opinion, having them look at financial contracts, agreements, business employment contracts. Like you may think this is minor and I'm just going to go on LegalZoom and make it, but then all of a sudden, 2 years later, there's a clause, there's a verbiage you didn't know in the legal world, this is what it meant. In your world, it meant this.
Exactly.
And when you and
Well,
I
I
have
think
worked,
about one of our recent clients. Thankfully, in her situation, she was kind of on the better end of that employment contract. And, her former owner was kind of threatening her, and she was having, and I said, the good news is, like, she didn't create a very good employment contract. And that's good news for you. It's bad for her, but it's great for you because, XYZ. And I also think about, other clientele who have been on, whether it's a good end or a bad end of a contract. But I think that's something that we have some good experience with and some good resources for. I also
and
think
just
about she needed a biller, Well, I don't know if it's the same gal, but somebody different. And man, oh my word, that client is thrilled with her biller.
Well,
Like, and
just
that's
those
good
simple thing, we
news.
laugh like 2 minutes of get like people think, oh, it's too expensive to get a consultant and
Yes.
the return on investment.
Yes.
I promise you, you're gonna get 1,000 times fold from the
Yes.
knowledge, the connections, the resources from our conversations. Like there's no
Yes.
doubt about it. And like I always laugh these little gems. Like I know this awesome person to send you to. They didn't know they existed. They didn't even know they're an option. Like that one example you're giving, she just went from a cash to transitioning to an insurance practice and like increased her revenue by five folds at least, purely
Oh.
by a simple transition. So
Yes.
we work really hard, not like, okay, let's increase your financial agreements, your fee schedules. Let's look at creative ways to tap into ancillary services, tap into
Yes.
insurance, tap into a team, getting some IBCLCs, some childbirth educators. Like, let's think outside the box because I think midwives too much will be like, what can I do to exchange my time for money? What can I do like this little box that we're trained in? And I try to get them to open up their mind, like leverage these experts around you. You are creating the systems. Like I use Kevin Costner all the time. It the field of dreams. You build it, they will come. Like that's the mindset I talk about with birth centers and community centers, and networking with your community is so powerful.
And I have a client right now that She just needed to create a little bit more money in the budget. And I said, hey, why don't you do this, this, and this? I mean, she's making $2,000 to $3,000 more a month just by simply, you know, adding
rearranging.
Yes, that she had no idea it was even out there or that she could even do. I mean, she's thrilled.
Yeah. Well, even the simple thing, we talk about risk reduction and tax deductions. Like I talk all the time to my clients, quit tipping the government. Most midwives tip the government. There are hundreds of tax deductions you can tap into. If your accountant is not helping you do that, you need to find a different accountant. Or here's some courses. I have a simple $60 tax deduction course. Like here's the common ones midwives are just not utilizing. We work too hard for our money to pay for it after income when our business is utilizing it. So like our office space at home, our car, our home, our cell phone, our everyday expenses, you can transition to the business very easily. Like I was joking with some clients. I was like, you get massage, you get chiropractics, this, you got uniforms, you got, well, this is part of the benefits of your staff and your team. Like, it's not like, how can you deserve these things? You need these things to keep up your professional appearance, your health, your wellness, to do your job professionally. They're business expenses. And so it's getting midwives to not just think of their income and how can I make more money, but how can I use these legal tax deductions to quit giving the government so much money.
Well, along with that, think of the number of midwives that we have worked with that were sole proprietors, and their tax accountants just kept letting them do that and letting them do that. And we've helped them find somebody else, help them get incorporated. And that alone, I mean, that alone saves a ton of taxes.
Oh, just the simple thing of transitioning from an LLC to an S corporation. You and I chat about that all the time. The dividends, like explaining to the difference of the tax brackets. Earned income has different tax brackets than capital gains. So I know you and I, you have a phone call you have to get to in a few minutes. So I want to be respectful, but you and I could go on for hours and hours. So the whole point of this conversation is we help midwives wherever you're coming from. Whatever, like I love niche businesses. If you come to me on a discovery call and say, hey, Leslie, I don't know if anybody's ever done this before, but this is what I would love to do. We do just as much with midwifing the midwives as traditional midwifery practices. There's midwives out there starting locum agencies, starting CBD oils, inventing things that help out midwives. Like there is so much out there you can do.
Thanks, Leslie.
Yeah, thank you so much, Deidre. And you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yeah, you too.